Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We're holding on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, the last two lines on the Amid. Tana Rabbanan. This braisa that we're going to quote now is going to be a continuation of the discussion that we had yesterday. We had a machlokes yesterday between Rav Sheshis and Rav Nachman. If a person originally married a lady based on the assumption that she was a besula, and then afterwards it turns out that she was a beula, can the husband then, the next morning, tainan bezin, he doesn't want to give anything because it was a mekach to'us? Or do we say no, that she's at least entitled to the amount of an almana, which is 100? We had a machloikis and a discussion, and that's what we're going to continue discussing once again today. Tana Rabban. Kontarish l'shem nisuin. He had someone marry a young lady for nisuin purposes. Now, when it says l'shem nisuin, that means at least they went through chuppah. However, v'yeshla edim shlei nistera, but she has edim that they never were together b'yichud, they were never secluded. And so therefore the assumption is that there was never a bia. Inami, or even if there were edim shenistera, v'lei shu'asa k'dei bia, it was so short, it was impossible to go and have a bia during that period of time. So what's the din now? After that, the husband died, or he gave a get, and now she remarries somebody else. So now the other person assumes l'chayra that she's still a psula, because after all, the Edom say lo nistera, or even nistera lo yishuasa kadei bia. So she's still a psula. Ein asheni yochel lifting tainis psulim. If Wednesday night, when they live together, he discovered that she's not a psula, he doesn't have tainis psulim to go and say, oh, why? Shari Kansa Rishon. Because she was previously married even through chuppah. And then Rashi adds, the Olav Ladas Shenivola. Even though there are Edom that say, we were there the whole time, there was no seclusion, there were no yichud, and even if there was yichud, it was only for half a minute, makes no difference. He still should have assumed that they could have, should have, would have lived together through that first Knesa, and therefore he should have assumed that she was a Ba'ula after all. How much do you have to go and pay? So therefore, he has to go and pay at least 100. Because if he should have assumed that she was a Ba'ula, fine. How much does a Ba'ula get? Almana, Ba'ula, Grusha, all get 100. Omer Rabba. So Rabba tries to extrapolate from that, top of Yud Beis Omer Aleph. Says Rabba Zoysa Meres, from this I can extrapolate, not only in this particular set of circumstances, but in general terms. Konze b'cheskes psula v'nimtzis b'ula. Anybody that goes and koines, he has chuppah v'kiddushin, and now bia, with a young lady that he assumed was a psula. And now it turns out she is a b'ula. Yesh lo k'suv amana. We don't say that it's a full mekach tois, and there is zero, she's still entitled to a ksuba of a mana, because after all, a ba'ula, an almana, is entitled to a mana. So Rambam tried to take our case and use that as a springboard to talk about generically, in all cases, when a person said, mekach tois, I thought it was a psula, it's really a ba'ula. Don't say that there's zero, she gets the mana just like a ba'ula.
According to the
Hikarba, low 100%, we had that yesterday. Therefore, this is just a takeoff. This is just a continuation. We're not focusing now on Mukaseis. We're focusing on now the whether a person should have presumed that she was a Ba'ula. And if that's the case, don't tie it to me, Mekach Toys. You should have known, if you had any brains, Achus and Kala have, they had Chuppah, even though subsequently the chosim passed away, you should have assumed that, nevertheless, there was bia at some point. Ravashi says now to Rabbah, I respectfully disagree. He didn't speak directly to Rabbah. Rabbah was one of the earlier Amiroim. Ravashi was among the last Amiroim. But what did Ravashi say? Ravashi Omar bi alma li oylam eim loch, les lo klal. I could say that this halacha of the Braisa, the Amud Beis, this is not a case that you can learn generically. You don't hear me? Brother Shai, you have a problem?
I hear you, Bon.
Okay, good. Zoe Semeres.
Again. David, maybe you kept your phone. Your phone.
Are you speaking to somebody else?
No, he's walking on.
Ah, okay. So, says Ravashi. Ravashi says, I respectfully disagree with Rabba. He says, Bi'alma, meaning generally, in other circumstances, I could hear that if a person thought the young lady was a psula, he determines that she's a ba'ula, that he can come to Bezin Thursday morning and say, Rabbi, I don't want to give her a penny. No ksuba whatsoever. Zero. So why did we say over here on the Amud Beis that she is believed that she is a ba'ula and she gets 100? Vishani hacha. Shari konza rishoin. Here, because there was an initial marriage, she was married to someone else. That marriage ended after chuppah, and Edom said, to our knowledge, no bia took place. And still hear nothing. David Fishman is trying to join in. Anyway, David Fishman, the other...
David, could be your earphones. Check your earphones.
So... Or just maybe leave the meeting and come back again because maybe you had you came in poorly. Returning, Nochmo. Siravashi says, I disagree with Rabba. Rabba tried to extrapolate from our Braisa on the Amud Beis that in all cases, Konze Becheskes Psula Venimtes Be'ula Yeshla Ksuva Mana. Says Siravashi, no, it could be generally less Loklal, it's a Mecca Toys, and you get zero. So why did it say in the Amud Beis that there's 100? Vishani Halcha, here it's different. She Kansarisha. Kansarisha means you know that she was previously married to somebody else. And therefore it should have dawned upon you that maybe, perhaps, could be that they did live together, notwithstanding the Edom, notwithstanding all the circumstances. After all, we know the famous Mishnah, Ein Apotropis Laroyis. There's no way that you can go and tell exactly what happened. Yes, the Edom thought they saw everything, but they were able to sneak out Chus and Kala for 5 minutes and back here, there, boom, bing, and they had a bia after all. And because of that, that's the reason why the Baal should have assumed, the new Zivik Sheni should have assumed that she was a Ba'ula, and that's why he has to give her a mana. However, in a generic case, first time Chus and first time Kala, he assumes that she is a psula, and then it turns out that she's a ba'ula. He can scream and say, no, mekach tois, I don't want to give anything, and therefore less lo klal. So Ramashi disagrees with Rabbi. Frankly, more of a nechashema tachtov zimtza. Maybe the truth of the matter is, in the original marriage, she did not have bia together with her first husband. Like the Edom said, they were never nistera. And even if they were nistera, it was not enough for his man bia, so maybe that's taka true. How did she become a ba'ula? Maybe the new husband, the new chosim, after he did erisin, from erisin until nisuin, as we know, used to take up to a year. During that period of time, maybe she was mezana, and therefore she should forget about the inyan of the mana umasayim. Maybe they're usher to one another. And Rashi adds, what the Gemara really means to say is, if you say that a person has a tainus psulim, that he's allowed to go and make a case in Bezdin, he's going to come in, and like the first Rashi in our Masechta already said, once he comes in, people will hear that there is a court case between a new Chosin Kala who just got married the night before, and then Edom will come on the scene and say, Bezdin, unfortunately, the Baal is right. We were witnesses, we know that 6 months ago between the Eris and Nisuin, unfortunately, she lived with somebody else, and therefore she'll be ushered to her Baal, and no din of ksuba, she's totally nesra, etc., etc. But here we said in the Braisa down below that Eina Shedi Yochel Litoin Tanis Psulim. He comes into Bezin, Bezin will throw him out and say, you don't even have a claim. Don't even bother coming in. Why not? Neichashem Betachtav Zinsa, let him produce his claim. The coil will go out that there is a court case. Edom may come, and they will show yes zinsa, not zinsa. It's talking about a situation where right after the Kiddushin, there was Nisuin, and there was a Bia immediately. In other words, something akin to what we do today, that you don't have a long period of time between Eris and Nisuin, but one after the other, under the Chuppah, here he just adds, and there was also Bia on the altar. So there was no opportunity of anybody being Mezana between the Eris and Nisuin, because they both happened back to back, one after the other. So this was the initial discussion based on the Braisa. Rabba wanted to extrapolate from that L'kola Teira Kula, that every time a person thought Psula, it turns out a Ba'ula, Yesh L'Ksuba Mana. Ravashi says, no, not necessarily. It could be that these are special circumstances, because he knows that she was married a first time, and therefore it should have dawned upon him that notwithstanding the Edim and the circumstances, nevertheless there was a Bia after all. And so therefore, he really married her b'cheskas b'ula, and that's why she gets her 100. But kola teira kula, ein acharam, maybe she gets nothing, less lo klal. And then we had Rav Sharbia, who was really off on a tangent, talking about the inyan of perhaps there was a maizis nus, and he says, no, kiddush ubi alyat. The ikad masin lo, there were others that repeated this entire discussion that we've had now for the last few minutes, amasnisin, on our Mishnah that we learned yesterday at the top of the Amid Beis. What does it say in the Mishnah? If you have a lady who is a psula, and she was also an almana, a grusha, a chalutza min hanisuin. Now, how could she be a psula if it's min hanisuin? Once again, it's talking about a situation where there was a chuppah, however, there was no post-chuppah bia. So, nisuin, she's a nisua. But if she's still a psula, she's still a psula. What does it say in the Mishnah? Ksuvasa mana. The ksuba is only a mana. Why is a ksuba only a mana? After all, there was nothing beyond chuppah. So either the answer is that there was beyond chuppah, just we don't know about it. Or, like some of the Mefarshim say, that there's a special chain that a psula has, a special glance, a luster, that one of the things that a prospective husband wants, besides that she should be a grois Yerushalayim, and that she should be a melumedes, and she should be pretty, and she should have some money, he also wants that she should be a psula. By the fact that she was already married once, even though the marriage terminated pre-bia, post-nisuin, post-chuppah, that luster already goes away, and therefore she's no longer entitled, even though physically she might be a psula. But nevertheless, she has a status like a ba'ula, in ksuvasan mana. They went on his psulim. Don't go and tell me the next morning, Thursday morning, he wakes up, he goes to bezin. No, no psulim, no psulim. Mister, you knew that she had been married previously, and therefore you knew that her status was that of a ba'ula, even if physically she might have been a psulim. How is that even possible? Like we said, that's the Mishnah. Again, Omer Rabba, oh, from this I see Zoysev Meris, I can extrapolate a generic, general halacha. They come to Bechazkes Psula, and it says, Be'ula, like our Mishnah, the second person assumed that she was a Psula. It turns out that she was a Be'ula, Ksuvas and Mana, did you get a Mana? That's what it says in the Mishnah, that Ksuvas and Mana. Ravashi Omer, no, lo'ilam eimaloch ba'alma les lo'klal. If he thought that she was a psula, when him says ba'ula, it's a mekach tois and you get nothing. V'shani hocha, here it's different, she nichlisa l'chuppa. After all, she did go l'chuppa, so it should have dawned on this individual that, you never know, maybe somehow or other, they did squeeze in a bia without anybody knowing, and therefore, when you go and marry such a lady, you have to have in mind the presumption that there's at least a 10% chance, maybe 50-50 chance, that she's a bula. And that's why you only get 100, you don't get the 200. Masha Inke, generally, if you have a first-time chosin, marrying a first-time kala, and he assumes that she's a basula, and he finds out that she's a bula, then it could very well be, says Ravashi, you get nothing. Mekach to'uz. And again, the more asks, V'lech Hashem etachtov zinza, if you're telling me that there is no Tainis Psulim, our Mishnah said the Engla Tainis Psulim, that means that the husband cannot go into Bezdin and present his case. So maybe, in fact, the original marriage, there was no Bia. But between the Erisin and the Suin, there was a Bia. and the husband will never be able to present the case to the Bezin for Edim to come and testify, yo, there was some sort of Bia in between the Eris and Nisur, and in fact they're also to one another. So, Rav Sharvi, the same terrors as before, King on Shekinah Shabbat the altar, that you had the Kiddushin and the Bia back to back, similar to our meaning today of having Kiddushin and Chuppah back to back without any interim period. Here it was more than that, here was Bia the altar, so there's no possibility that somebody squeezed in between the Eris and the Suan, so that's not a concern. Okay, so now we've basically repeated the same Shikli Gemara twice. Zokti Gemara, why did I repeat it twice? Man, the Masigla, Braisa, Kolshkin, Amasnisa. The one that learned this discussion on the Braisa, like we started off. And when the Gemara says, Man, the Masigla, Braisa, it's really focusing, says Rashi, on Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi said that in the first case, don't go and extrapolate from this. That the Cholotayra Kula, Konsa Becheskes Psula, the Nimzin Be'uli Yesh Laksuva, Mona. Maybe it's only in these particular facts. Why in these particular facts? Because I have a case of Konser Rishoy, that there was a previous marriage. That's the same as the Mishnah. Mishnah is also talking about a previous marriage. But here, in the Braisa, we had another very important fact, and that was that there are Edim that are saying they never were Nisyached, Loi Nistera. And even if they say yes, Nistera, it was only for 30 seconds. Not enough time to have a beer. And therefore, the husband thinks to himself, L'choira, that she's a psula and not a ba'ula. Nevertheless, Rav Ashi said, no. You still have to have in mind, there's the possibility, perhaps even the likelihood, somehow or other they squeeze in a beer without the Eidim even realizing. And therefore, Konserisha. So look to Yomar, Madach in a case, where in the Braisa, where we have Edim that are testifying, essentially, that she's still a psula. Says Rav Ashi, you cannot learn from that L'chola Teira Kula on a first-time Chosin L'Kala. That what? That if he assumed that she was a psula. V'nimtzis Be'ula Yesh L'Ksuva Mona. No. But rather, you get nothing less L'Klal because it happens to be a Mekach Tois. But I have Edim over here. So man, the Maslu Abraisa. Then certainly you cannot extrapolate from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah, there are no Edom whatsoever saying that they never lived together. And certainly I cannot go and extrapolate from the Mishnah, L'chola Teira Kula, because in our Mishnah there's a good chance that maybe there was a Bia, and he should have assumed that there was a Bia, because after all, there are no Edom that said that there was no Bia, there were no Edom whatsoever. So Madach in a case where there are Edim that are acting, or who are contraindicators, they're saying, no, there was no Bia, no Bia, says Rav Ashi, can't rely on the Edim, can't rely. You have to assume that she was a Ba'ula. Then certainly in the case of the Mishnah, you have to assume that she was a Ba'ula, because there were no Edim saying otherwise. That's why you cannot extrapolate from the Mishnah. However, Man the Masilu Amisnisim, those that learn like the second tzad in our Mishnah, that they're saying that Rav Ashi said, no, don't bring a raya from the Mishnah, legabe the generic case of chonsa b'chaskes psula v'nimtzis b'ula yesh v'ksu v'mana, can't learn that from the Mishnah. Ava b'raisa loy. However, from the b'raisa you could learn that. Why could you learn it from the b'raisa? Mishum d'matzi amala, because the husband says to the wife, I know you were previously married. Yeah, I know Konserishan, it's true. But no, Edom Samchi. But there were two Edom that swore on a stack of Bibles, all kosher art scroll Bibles, of course. They all swore that there was never enough time, that either there was no Nistra at all, and even if there was Nistra, there was never any time for Bia. And I relied on that. So therefore, I'm a classic Konser Becheskas Psula, V'nimtzis Be'ula. And nevertheless, the Braisa says you only get a ksuva mana. So it could very well be that Rav Ashi will agree. Although I don't have a raya from the Mishnah, but I do have a raya from the Braisa. Because in the Braisa, he had every right to assume that she was a full-fledged psula. And nevertheless, we give him 100. We don't say mekach tois. So therefore, we apply that same rule. L'chol ha-toyra kula. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Yes, sir.
What does that come out then? If somebody to say they have the
Averson
and doing the suing together,
right.
There's no questions, it's just not that.
Right.
And then there's no time that it's a mekach tois.
Everybody agrees it's a mekach tois. The only question is, how much money do you get? When you hear the words Mekach Toys, you automatically assume, oh, that means this zero. The sale is off. You get back your merchandise. I take back my money. Defective, inferior quality merchandise. Take it back. I give my... That's normally the thought of Mekach Toys. Correct. And that's what Ravashi said. Look at the words of Ravashi. In a regular, normal case, Chos and Kala getting married for the first time, if he finds out that she's a Ba'ula, not a Psula, and there's no question about that she was in Setachtov, like you said, because they were back-to-back, no, what's the din? Zokti Gemara says, Ravashi, lo'olam eimeloch les lo'klal, she gets no ksuba whatsoever, it's a full-fledged mekach toz. That's what Ravashi wrote. Rabba respectfully disagrees, either based on our Mishnah, or based on the Brisa, or based on both, depending which tzad of the Gemara you're going to learn. No, that every time Kosum Kes is Psula, and he finds out that she's Ba'ula, you don't say Mekach Tois to reduce it to zero, but you do say Mekach Tois to reduce it to 100. Not really because of Mekach Tois, but rather because since she's Ba'ula, she's entitled to go and get her 100 like any Ba'ula. Okay? So, the answer to your question is, it's a machloikis, Rabba and Ravashi, what would be the din, generically, by a regular chos and kala? Zot the Mishnah. We had this Gemara already the other day, the Gemara quoted this Mishnah. A person is eating by his shver in Yehuda. Shaloi be'edim. No edim around. In other words, just chos and kala. We're talking about during the Zman Erusin. Remember, typically, Erusin to Nisun was a 12-month period. So, after 3 months, 6 months, the Kala comes to the Chosin for Shabbos, and the parents of the Kala said, you know what, we're going to give you some freedom, we're going to give you an opportunity to be together, and the parents go off and they eat at a Kiddush somewhere, and the Chosin Kala eating by themselves, Eitzel Chomov, Bihuda, Shloi Beim, there's nobody around. And then after that, 3-6 months later, they get married with Nisuin. And then the next morning, the Baal comes screaming into Bezin, oh, she wasn't a Psulim. And Yochalitatan is Psulim. Nishimis Yacharima. Since in Yehuda, he was together with her, so you have to assume from every Yichud that might have led to a Bia. So it's Taka true on the night of Nisuin. He didn't find Psulim. And you know who the culprit is? He shall look in the mirror. He's the culprit. Because of the fact that he was Mesiachet with this Kala during the Erisin period, which in Yehuda was okay. Kedei shehei libay gaspa, like the Gemara is going to tell us. So therefore, we have to assume, Einachanami, she's taken out of Psula, because he already destroyed her Psulim 6 months ago, when they were still Chos and Kala. Not really Chos and Kala, when they were ready Orus Varusa together. This halacha on the surface is very straightforward. What the Gemara is now medayik. Why does it say ha'oichel etzel choma b'Yehuda? Why didn't it just simply say that in Yehuda hanoisias ha'isha b'Yehuda ain't yochel litoin tanis psulim? Whoever marries a lady in Yehuda, he can't be toin tanis psulim. Why do you have to go megagamtza scenario ha'oichel etzel choma b'Yehuda shloim be'edim? No, anybody getting married in Yehuda, there's an assumption that the Orus and Arusa lived together at some point, and therefore in Yochalot the Tamas Pula. See, Mar says, "Nechtoni Oichel Mechlal Deikaduch Deb Yehuda Namid Lo Yochel." Zaitzchos from our Mishnah that in fact in Yehuda itself there were different minhagim, that there were a place in Yehuda that the Lo Yochel means that they would not allow the Orus v'Arusa to be mesiachet together without Edom. No, they were very careful. Never allow them to have yichud together. Amr Abayis is Abayi from the Shema Minah b'Yehuda Nami mekoymis yesh. From our Mishnah and from this diuk, we see that even Yehuda, there were different minhagim, different places. Some places where they did allow the chosin kala, the oris v'harusa, to be mesiached, and other places where they did not allow them to be mesiached. Kinesan, like it says in the Brayis, Amr b'Yehuda. B'Yehuda b'rishoyna hu yamiyachdim es ha'chosim yes ha'kala sho'achas koydim kinesosim l'chopa. Then Yehuda, the minig was that they did allow the chosin kala, meaning the oris v'arusa, to be mesiached before nisuin, k'dei shehei liboy gaspo, so that he would feel a little bit more familiar with the kala, with the arusa. After all, we're talking about an erlich habucha, an erlich hamaydel. They never had relations before with anybody, and therefore the first night when they get together in dark circumstances, it can be a little bit unsettling. And that's why the Gemara always talks about that he doesn't have to say Kriyishma. He's doeg. He doesn't know, is it going to work out? How is it going to be the first time? It's a challenging experience. So therefore in Yehuda, they allowed Kadesh Yilibur Gaspa, they did allow for Yichud, which often may have led to Bia, so that by the time it came Nisuan, they would be comfortable with one another. Kadesh Yilibur Gaspa. It's interesting that Yerushalmi gives a different reason why they had this minhag in Yehuda, because as you recall, we had earlier on in Masechta, at the very beginning, that the reason why a Kala, if she's concerned about Nehasakona, she can go and get married on Tuesday instead of Wednesday because of the Hegemon. The Hegemon was the local governor, mayor, or whatever, that he would go and try to live with the Kala before the Chosin would have the opportunity to live with the Kala. So to thwart that, we learn in the Gemara, she would go and get married a day earlier. In other places in Yehuda, they allowed them to be Mesiachet, so that they could have Bia pre-Hegmoim, so they could schedule the Chasen on Wednesday like normal, not on Tuesday. However, they would have the opportunity to have a Bia earlier, so the Hegmoim thinks he's going to be the first guy online. Ha ha! We went and thwarted him by allowing for them to have Yichud earlier. And maybe they had Bia, maybe they didn't have Bia. But that's the reason why they allowed for Yehuda, so Yishtet Yerushalmi. Continues the Gemara, Ubigola Yoisinke. However, in Galil, they didn't allow for that. Never, ever. So apparently, they didn't have that Hegmoin situation in Galil. And they didn't feel strongly about this Liboy Gaspa, and therefore, no Yichud in Galil. So that we were familiar with that. We've learned that before. But now, the Braisa continues on. And the Yehuda Barishoni Yamamin Lehem Shnei Shishbinin. They had a second custom in Yehuda. And that was that in addition to the Chosin Kala, they had two shushbidim. Today we would call them two mashgichim. What were the mashgichim? Echad loy vi echad lo, kedei limashvish es achosav yisakala b'shaski yisosan l'chuppah. They would go and inspect. As you know, for instance, today, after the chuppah is over and the chosan kala go together in cheder yichud, you have the two eidim first going into the room to make sure there's nobody hiding in the closet, in the bathroom, under the table, under the bed, that they have yichud together, nobody else. Here, too, similarly, you had the two mashgichim pre and post Bia to make sure that they didn't go and make up any stories. So for instance, her Mashgiach would make sure that he wouldn't destroy the evidence right after Bia. After Bia was over, they would both leave the bedroom, and then quickly her Mashgiach would rush in to make sure, is there a towel there, is there a bedspread, is there a sheet with drops of blood or not, and did the chosin try to go and take that away and throw it into the trash bin or somehow try to destroy the evidence? That was her mashgiach. His mashgiach, similarly, is not so much post-bia, but more pre-bia. He would go and make sure that she didn't surreptitiously place a blood-stained towel or sheet on the bed pre-bia, and then say, oh, you see, there's blood stains all over. So you had to have a mashgiach go and check out the circumstances previous. So that's the end of these Shnei Shushbinim. Kedei Lamashvish is a chosum, is a kala, b'shaski, sosum, chuppah. Doesn't really mean kedosum, chuppah. It really means post chuppah when they're doing a knisa for bia purposes. Now, before we continue on, this is already the raya that mekoyim is mekoyim is yesh. Why? Because according to the first mokim, the first minhag that they had in Yehuda, we said that since there was a strong possibility that they went and had bia pre-chuppah sometime during the 12 months, so then there's no tainus psulim at all on the night of the chuppah and the nisuin, because if he says lematzasa levitcha psulim, you know why? Because he was the one that ruptured the psulim 6 months ago, 9 months ago, because after all in Yehuda they allowed them to have yichud, and presumably there was a possibility of bia. So what do you need the two mashgichim for? Mashgichim got to check, he and her, she's not going to have any blood, because she may have had a bloody mess already 6 months ago. So says Rashi, from the fact that they still had this minhag of the Shnei Shushbinim, is talking about in other places where they did not allow for the Chosin Kala, the Oris Varusa, to be Mesiached, and that's the reason why they had to have the two mashgichim, to make sure on the night of the Chasana of the Nisuin, was it bloody, not bloody, but because there was no previous yichud earlier on. So now I already have my raya, mekoymis yesh. But there was a third minig as well that the Brisa brings, and that Yehuda b'rishayna yishvinen yishenim abayish echos mekali yishenim bo. That the mashkichim that we were speaking about, not only did they check the bedroom before and after to see whether somebody is trying to deceive the other, but the shishvinim would also go and sleep in the same house with the chosen kala. But the, in kala we didn't have that minute. Now finishing off the brisa, v'choshalay noak minig hazeh, whoever was not noyig like this minhag, I don't know which minhag we're referring to. The brisa had three minhagim. So we're going to get to that momentarily. He cannot be toyin tanis psulim because, mister, you have to go and follow the practices. You didn't follow the practice, therefore you have no tanis psulim. This last stickle, what is that going on? After all, we had three minhagim. Meaning, number one, that they allowed for yichud during the year of Eresim. Number two, that they had shishbinim doing the hashgacha, checking out post, pre and post bia. And number three, they had shishbinim sleeping in the same house. So which one are we saying, kol shleino, kibni gazeh, eni yochel litvay tadash psul? Iwayi ma'reish, we're talking about the first case. It shouldn't say, kol shleinoag, kol shenohag mi boyalei. It should really say, whoever did go and perform this practice. Meaning, what's the first minhag? The first minhag was that they were miyachid the chosin kala during the year, and therefore they may have come liday be it during the year. Oh, so now what does the brayse say at the end? If you were not noyig that minhag, in other words, if there was no yichud throughout the year, then guess what? You can't be toyin tanis psul. It's just the other way around. Pukfaket. Koshin noag. If you had yichud during the year, and therefore you may have had bia during the year, then on the night of the chasana, then ein tayan and tainis psulim. So therefore, it should say just the opposite. Kosher nohak. El ha-sefer. It's going on the sefer. What does it say on the sefer? Sefer means on the second case, where both the chasan and kala are supposed to have the shushbinin, who are supposed to be memashmesh. They're supposed to do their pre and post bia inspections. So what does it say? So Kimon, no. It shouldn't say koshloi toin. It should say koshloi mushmish mi boyele. What means mushmish? That means that he was not inspected. Meaning that the kala didn't bring mashkichim to check on the chos. What does all this mean? So Rashi explained. By using the expression koshloi noha kimini gazeh, we're obviously addressing the chos. That if the chosin was not noyeh kimine gazeh, en yochel litin tanis psulim. Really has nothing to do with the chosin. It really has to do with the kalos mashgichim checking out what did the chosin do. Is it possible that the chosin went and took all of the evidence of psulim and destroyed it? So if there are shushbinim, then they'll see. Yes, there was a blood-stained towel, or there was no blood-stained towel. They'll be able to go and be made. However, koshloi noag, not koshloi noag, that he wasn't noy. It's koshloi nohaga. If she didn't go and send a mashgiach to go and check him out, so then maybe that can destroy the evidence. And that's the situation where he cannot be toyin tanis psulim, because he can't say, oh, Rabbi said, kum terayin, take a look, the bed is spotless. Mazel tov, it's spotless, because you destroyed all the evidence. You took the towel, you took the sheet, and you put it down into the incinerator, and that's why you can't find it anymore. Oh, so therefore it shouldn't say koshlei nog, it's a koshlei mushmish, meaning that she didn't send shishbinim to mamashmish acharov. So l'chayra, either way you learn, there's a problem with this last statement in the brisa. So Omar Abaya, the Oilam Aresha, Utni, don't learn like we did initially, Kosher Loi Nohag. Take out the word Loi and say Kosher Nohag, whoever was Noi Kemining Hazet, to be Misyachet. Then afterwards, 6 months later or whenever, the time in Nisuan, Ein Yochel Litan Tanis Psulim, because there's a strong assumption or presumption that they already lived together previously. Omli Rava, Vaha Kosher Loi Nohag Tani. Doesn't say in the brisa kosher nohag, it says kosher loy nohag. And by the way, this style of Abaye v'Rava, this comes up fairly frequently in Shas, where we have a kasha or a stira, and Abaye takes, if you will, the easy way and says, okay, make a small emendation, a small change. And Rava says, no, you can't do that. These texts are sacred. Elom Rava, therefore Rava says, I have another pshat. Hachi kamar, koshle nor, minigolil, begolil, eliminig Yehuda begolil, and Yehulitrain tainis psula. After all, the Bryce is not only focusing on Yehuda, it's also talking about Golil. And it says, for instance, by the first case, in Yehuda, they allowed for Yichud. But not in Golil. Golil didn't allow for it. Says now Rava, that's what the Bryce is telling you. That what? That if in Golil, there were not no Heg, like it says in the Bryce, that Golil Yoysen came. But rather in Golil, Hoyu Oysen came, they also did Yichud, just like in Yehuda. No, Oy Bazoy. If they did Yichud just like in Yehuda, then of course he can be Tony and Thomas Psulim. So that works out very well, because then that person who did the practice of Yehuda in Golil, it's as if he's in Yehuda. And therefore you can be Tony and Thomas Psulim. Ravashi Amali Oilam Asefa Utani. When you ask the Kasha that Kosha Noach doesn't make sense, it should be Kosha Loi Nohagah, that she didn't send an inspector after him to see what he is doing, to see that he might be destroying the evidence. A sefer tani kosheloy mushmish. Any chosen who there was nobody that was memashmesh acharav, then he can be trying to tanis psulim, because maybe in fact there was evidence of psulim of blood, and he went and destroyed the evidence. Okay, zok the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah on the surface starts off very, very simply, so simply that you wonder why the Mishnah even state the case. But you'll see from the sefer why this becomes important. We said in the previous Mishnah yesterday that although by Yipsula it's 200, Almana only gets 100. And in fact, we said that it's Meduyik in the Pasuk because it says Almana, which means Elamana, or Almana, go and deduct one mana, and you only get a mana. So says the Mishnah, Achas Almanas Yisrael, the Achas Almanas Kehanim or Koyin, Kesubasa mana makes no difference. And Almana is an Almana is Almana, whether she was married to Yisrael, to a Levi, to a Kohen, doesn't make a difference, it's all one mana. So again, that sounds like it's almost superfluous. However, Bezishu Kehanim means that there were certain Ori Kehanim, like you find in the Torah, Ori Halavim. So you had Ori Kehanim, or at least you had neighborhoods of Kehanim, where they had their own Bati Dinim. And those Bati Dinim said that if you want to go and divorce your wife, the minimum is not 200. If the wife was a psula, the minimum is 400. The reason for this, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, is because the Kahanim are the elite of Klal Yisrael, and therefore a chosen or a husband shouldn't just trash his wife and say, okay, here's a get out of here, I don't want to see you anymore. It's got to be very painful. He's got to go and pay 400. Because this is a bas koyin. You're not talking about just anybody. You're talking about kehanin, and I'm on a bas koyin. I'm on a bas koyin. You have to go and give her a certain degree of respect and reverence. Don't just throw her out and give her 200. You got to give 400. So the chacham did not go and say what you're doing is wrong. No, fine. If that's your minig, 400, that's fine. It doesn't say anything about almana. However, did they make a change to almana? It doesn't say. It just says that they changed Psula from 200 to 400. Zokti Mora Tana, we learned in the Braisa. The Almanas Kayanim. Kesuvasa Masayim. Oh, just like they upped the 200 to 400 by Psula, they upped the 100 of Almana to 200 by the Almanas Kayanim. Pray to Mora Banan Tanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Achas Almanas Yisrael. The Achas Almanas Kayanim. Kesuvasa Mona. You just told me that they increased to 200. Omer Ravashi, shtei takonas hayu. There were two different takonas at two different periods of time. Meikar tekinu lipsula arba meyazus ul almana mana. Initially, by psula they gave 400, and almana they kept the same mana, just like an almana sisra, like it says in our Mishnah, no difference. However, says the Gemara, kivan the chazu the mezalzli behu, since they saw that by almanas you only have to pay 100, then the husbands of the Almana said, Nef, I'm not happy with her, I only have to pay 100 and I'm out of here. And she's out of here. So they were mezalzel, they figured, easy come, easy go, it's only 100. And therefore it became a gnai, it became a bizoyan for the almonois of the Kahanim, that unfortunately, that they were frequent flyers, frequent gittin. To give them a muscle. So therefore they said, no, we're going to make it more painful. They increased the 100 to 200. Just like by the almona, by the psula, they increased by Kahanim from 200 to 400. Same thing is, legabi the almona, they increased from 100 to 200. So Kimara, however, kim the kachazu, the kaparshin minayu, then people stopped taking almonois for wives. The Amri, they said, Adnes vinan almonas koyhanim, why should I take an almonas koyin? And if I'm not happy, I have to pay 200. Nezel neze besula bas Yisrael. I might as well get married to besula bas Yisrael, which is 200. In other words, if it's the same amount, besula bas Yisrael is 200. Almonas koyin is 200. I'd rather take a besula. Okay, so she's not going to be from the highfalutin elite koyhanim, but it's a psula. That's enough of an advantage. I'd rather go and take a psula bas Yisrael than almonas koyin. Nebuch the almonas koyhanim, Nebuch was stuck as almonois, and they didn't have any suitors. Adrinal Messiah, then they turned it back. They turned back the clock and they said, you know what, let's reduce it once again to 100. And then, Baruch Hashem, they had more shiduchim. Bezin shel koyhanim, they said it should be 400. Omer v'yira mishmur, loy bezin shel koyhanim b'lvad omru. It's not only a special din that applies to the Kehanim. El afilu mishpachas miyuchasas b'Yisrael. If you had among Yisraelim or Levim a mishpacha miyuchasas, children of Einiklach of the Chassam Soifer, Einiklach of Ramosha Feinsteiner, perhaps miyuchas, the father or grandfather that was a great askan, a great tzaddik, whatever it happens to be, a mishpacha miyuchasas, emrotzu las keder shekanim oisin oisin. There, the Bezdin can also, for the local miyuchasim, they can also go and adopt this practice of not minimum 200 ksuba, but minimum 400 ksuba. If you want to follow the practice of the kehanim, keep going. So what the Bryce is suggesting is that the original Bezdin shel kehanim that we were talking about in our Mishnah is talking strictly by a bas koyin marrying a koyin, so both sides are kehanim. Then the Bezdin said 400. Now, if you want to extend this, that what? That only one side is a koyin and the other side is Yisrael. Then you can extend it further. It's mashma bas Yisrael koyin bas koyin Yisrael. Who the ikatzad kahuna? Because there's at least one side of kuna. You don't have both sides, but at least one side. Then you can go and increase it to 400. Avabas Yisrael, Yisrael, if you're talking about a strict case of mishpochos miyuchosos bi Yisrael, that both sides of Yisrael, mashmaloi, mashma that you cannot go and increase it from 200 to 400. Izach Shver, you just said a moment ago, Om Yavir Mashmuel, not only Bez Mishkehana, but even mishpochos miyuchosos bi Yisrael. No, you can't. It's only when there's at least a tzad kahuna on one side. No, it's not Shver on Shmuel. Loi mi boye kama. When the Bryce is telling us, Loi mi boye bas Yisrael, Yisrael. Tolei matzi amala iluye kama linen loch. Not only in a case where both sides of Yisrael, where the chosin cannot say to the kala, I am now raising your status in society because you're marrying me. They're both exactly the same. They're both miyuchosos. So there, the Braise says 400. Avon Bas Yisrael, the Koyin, the Matzi Omelo, Iluya Kamalin and Loch. When Avon Bas Yisrael marries the Koyin should be able to tell the Bas Yisrael, you happen to be a third class citizen. You're not a Koyin. You're not a Levi. You're only a Yisrael. I'm first class. I'm a Koyin. You should thank me. You should bow down to me that I'm marrying you. I don't want to go increase your ksuba to 400. You know, you should go and give me a ksuba 400. I happen to be a Grisa Knacher, I happen to be a Kohen, and you're only a Yisrael. So I would think, Eimaloi, we would not allow for this 400 Ksuba, Kamash Malon, that it really makes no difference. That it's true that the original Takana was a Bezin Shel Kehanim, but any community where you have Miyuchasim, you can go and agree that the standard practice will no longer be 200, it's going to be 400. The second Toisis tells us that Avada, in any community, you can always add Toisis Ksuva. In other words, the minimum is 200, but if you want, you can go and throw in 200 plus $1 million. There's nothing wrong with that. We're just talking about what's the standard amount if he's not adding Toisefes. He says, Azrev's just paying the minimum Ksuva that is allowable under law. Oh, so the Bezin Shulchanim said, in our Kehanim structure, you got to pay a minimum of 400. And the Bati Dinim Yuchasais, they were able to also go and lift it, raise it to 400. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Again, we had this Mishnah already yesterday. And the Gemara says, look at the Mishnah, Hanu Yisis Yishom Le'matzala Psula. A person, a Chosin Kala, get married. It's Wednesday night. And unfortunately, the Chosin says that she didn't have Psulim. He goes into the Bezin the next day and he says, Rabbi, no Psulim. What's her answer? He oimeres misharastani ne'anasti. It's taka true, there were no Psulim. But I want you to know, I am a victim of terrible, violent circumstances. After the Erisin, at the time of Erisin, when we first got married with Erisin, you proposed to me, I took the ring, and we got married. At that time, I was a psula like any other psula. Unfortunately, 3 months later, Ashegetz came one day or one night, and he was ma'anis me, he violated me, and that's how I became Nebuch Hananusa. I became Nebuch Ebu'ula. V'nistach v'sedeil. Pesach v'sedeil is an expression, means, unfortunately, it's your mazel, Nebuch yesh l'mazel, that I, Nebuch, fell as an unwitting victim to that mice of violation, and you still got to pay me the 200. V'oy maloy, ki ella achli aristicha, I am afraid that you were already living with someone pre-Erisin, and already at the time of the Erisin, it was a mekach tois, v'yimekhi mekach tois. And I don't want to give you anything. Remember, we had this discussion whether mekach tois means zero, or perhaps to go and reduce it from 200 to 100. And Rova said yesterday, certainly the mashmois of the word mekach tois means zero. We terminate the transaction, you take back your car, I take back my money, and it's all over. So here too, l'chayah, that's the pshat, that the husband is saying, no, I don't believe you, I'm afraid even the first time a year ago when I proposed to you and I gave you a ring, already at that time you were already a bu'ula, and therefore I am not interested, get out of here. Okay, so who's right and who's wrong? She is believed. She's believed that she was ne'ensa after this man Erisim. No, we don't believe her. We believe him that she was a Ba'ula all along, even pre-Erisim. Actually, even before she was Nerisim. And she fooled him until she can prove otherwise. Now, what's the basis of the machloikis between Rav Gamliel, Reb Elazar, and Rabbi Yeshua? So we're going to see momentarily in the Gemara that it's very, very simple. That Rav Gamliel, Reb Elazar say, we have a classic case of Bori Veshema, Bori Adif. Meaning, she knows what happened to her body. Whether she lost her psulim pre-Erisin or post-Erisin. And she says it happened post-Erisin. Nanasti. The husband doesn't know. He's just presuming that at the time of the Erisin, she was already at that time a Ba'ula. Does he know for sure? No. If he would know for sure, he would never have taken her as a wife in the first place. He's just saying now, oh, I know you, Sprinzer. I know you must have already, even before we had Erisin a year ago, you must have been lying around with boys, and that's how you became a Ba'ula, and it's a Mechach Tois. He doesn't know for sure. So you have a Bari Vishem, a Bari Adiv, so Rangamliel, Nemenes, we believe her, we don't believe him. Rabbi Yeshua says, we have a famous halacha of Hamid Momin B'cheskas Morei, Uki Momin B'cheskas Morei, whoever is holding on to the money, you want to get the money. Hamitzim Mechaveir Olavaraya. And who has the money over here? The Chosin. The Chosin says to the wife, it's all over. I didn't find Psulim. I'm giving you a get. Get out of here. You want to get from me 200 or 100? Prove your case. Hamitzim Mechaveir Olavaraya. Okay, so this Machloikis, as we'll see, figures in other cases as well. Zok to Yomara, Itma. Manali biyadcha. Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, you owe me $100. Vale Oyman, Shimon says, "Ain't you there? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't know." Again, a case of Bori B'Shema, where Reuven says, "What do you mean? Mona Libiotcha?" And Shimon says, "I don't know." Rav Yehuda Baruchun Adam Amri Chayef, because Bori B'Shema, Bori Odif. Rav Nachman Rav Yechon Amr Potter, because they say, "Who has to go and pay? Shimon?" No, Uki Mamoina Becheskes Mare. If you, Reuven, want to take the money away from me, you're going to have to prove your case. Like we just said. So now, what the Gemara is going to do in another few lines is say that the same machloikis between Rav Yehuda Rav Huna and Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan is the same machloikis as our Mishnah. But before it goes directly to the Mishnah, we first bring in Shmuel in another unrelated case. Omli Abayla Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna Rav Yehuda that said, Bori Vishema, Bori Odif, Shmueli. Oh, this is the case of Shmuel. What's the case of Shmuel? Now, we're going to have later on in our Masechta, this is a Mishnah later on. In fact, the Mishnah is tomorrow. Tomorrow we should be learning the Mishnah. Hoyisim Muberes. What happens if he finds the chosim finds that the wife is Muberes? The Umrula, or it could be just Tam. A lady is Muberes. For Umrula and the Bezin asks her, "Hey, Mati Vishal Uberzeh, who is this? Who is this? You're Muberes, let's say. A single girl, never married. And we find that unfortunately she is pregnant. And we ask her, who are you pregnant to? And she says, Me'ish Ploini V'Koyinu. I am pregnant to Yankel Smith, and Yankel Smith is a Koyin. And Rashi says, Lav Dafka Koyin. It just means that he is a Meyuchas. He's not some sort of a culprit, some criminal figure. It happens to be a normal, upstanding citizen. And obviously, Nishka Grois Tzadik, but it is what it is. What's the point? Why does he say that's Koyinu? Because we don't want to assume that the child, therefore, is either a mamzer, or that the child has in him a cholo. Therefore, we're saying that everything is outstanding, nothing to worry about, the Koyin. She's believed. Now, why would Rav Gamliel Rav Leza say she's believed? She's believed because it's Bari Vishema Bari Adam. She knows for sure with who she lived with. I don't know, you don't know, but she knows. So, if she says, Bori li, that it comes and explain it, the Koyinu, unless you have contrary evidence, she's believed. Oh, Shmuel says we pass like Rav Gamliel, Bari Vishema, Bari Odif. V'yomu le Rav Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, le Rav Yehuda, Shinina, as you know, the Gemara uses this expression frequently, when Rav Shmuel spoke to Rav Yehuda, he called him Shinina. Shinina has two interpretations. Either it means the one with the long teeth, which is therefore not a very flattering description. But Otishina means a person who's very, very sharp. You sharp one. That we pass on the Gamliel even in the first case. Now what does it mean in the first case? In our Mishnah we had, Ram Gamliel v'Reb Eleza, Oymrim Nemetz. If we turn to tomorrow's Amid Aleph, Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, you'll notice that the two more Mishnayos. One Mishnah at the top of the Amid, the third line, Ram Gamliel v'Reb Eleza, Oymrim Nemetz. And then look at the Mishnah down below. Again the third line. This is talking about another case, Medeberes Emechad, and then skip to the end of the Mishnah. Hoyis Muberes for Amul Lamativ Shul Uberzeh Meish Ploini V'Koyinu. No, that's our case. Ram Gamliel Oymim Nemenes Zok Yetzi Gemara. When Shmuel said we paskin like that latter Ram Gamliel in the case of the Uber, says Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Rav Yehuda, Shmuel also said that we paskin like Ram Gamliel in Berishoina, meaning even in our Mishnah. That Bori Vishema Bori Otif. Afal Gav the Ikala Maimer Ukima Moina Becheskes Mare, even though what Rabbi Shua says makes sense, you're trying to extract money from the husband, from the chosin, Hamoitz Mechaver Olivaraya. Nevertheless, we say that the Bori Vishema trumps and supersedes the Inyan of Ukima Moina Becheskes Mare. Amr Gamliel. So again, Avgav the Ikala Maimer Ukima Moina Becheskes Mare. Bari Adif. Fine, that's that initial discussion. Why did we bring all of that? Again, to go and try to shtel tzu, we're trying to now assume that the mandiyomrim, the tanoim of our Mishnah, hold the same thing as the amoiroim of the Gemara. Meaning, Just like in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar said, Ne'emenes, why? Like we just finished saying, because Bari v'shem and Bari od. Rabbi Shua says, Nalayim v'piyanu chayim, because there's a chazaka, that the money is in the hands of the husband. Hamoyt mechvel avaraya. So that's the same thing with God in the case of Manali biyadcha. He says, Reuben says to Shimon, you owe me 100. Shimon says, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. Any idea? So it's a Bari v'shema situation. So what did Rav Yehuda Rav Huna say? Chayiv. Bari v'shema bari yadav. What did Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan say? Pater. Hukim amoyne b'cheskes marei. Ah, look tomorrow. Leim Rav Yehuda Rav Huna, the Amrik Rav Gamliel. Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan, the Amrik Rav Yehoshua. Are both saying the same thing? Amrik Rav Nachman. No, you have no right. I know the Amri Afilik Rav Gamliel. I could agree to Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah. Even though in the case of Manali b'yadcha, I say that Shimon is potter from paying because Reuven has to prove his case. Somebody comes over to you in Bismedish and says, hey, Yankel, you owe me $100. I don't know anything about it. I know what you're talking about. Oh, Bari Mishama Bari Adif, I'm telling you, you owe me $100. You have to pay me. So what did Rav Nachman say? I'm not going to pay you anything. Prove your case. Potter. But says Rav Nachman, I could agree in our Mishnah that Rav Gamliel is right. Why? Because Ad Kanli Kamar Gamliel Hossam. When did Gamliel say in our Mishnah, El De'ika Migoy? Because it's the power of Migoy. What means the power of Migoy? What did she say when the husband challenged her in Bezin and said, hey, Le Matsasi Lo Psulim? She could have answered a much better answer. Instead of saying, Mishi Arastani Ne'enasti, unfortunately, I'm a victim. Someone violated me. She could have said that there was an accident. Nebuchadnezzar fell down on a piece of wood, and I'm a Mukas Eitz. Mukas Eitz is certainly a much cleaner, better taina than saying that she was the victim of a violation. No, who's the criminal, and when did it happen, and bring Eidim, and blah, 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 blah. Much simpler to say Mukas Eitz. Since she didn't say that, she has a Migui. That Migui strengthens her taina, says Rav Nachman, I could agree with Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah because she has a Migui. But over here, there's no migui over here. We go and say to the person who is demanding payment, he says, Bari, I'm telling you clearly you owe me $100. What else could he have said? You don't owe me $100. Then he wouldn't get anything. He had to go and say something. So there's no migui involved. I was there for that. In that case, you don't have a strong taina. Prove your case if you want to collect the money. Inami, or I have another svar as well. When did Gamliel say in our Mishnah, El Gamrinan Ukma Achazaka? Ukma Achazaka means we put her on her Chazaka. Every girl, when she is born, by definition, has Psulim. And therefore, we assume she had Psulim unless and until you prove otherwise. So we assume that she was a Psula her entire childhood, and into her teen years, and even until she became an Arusa. We assume she was a Psula, unless you heard or know otherwise. Now, for the first time, the time of Nisuan, the husband discovers that unfortunately she was a Ba'ula. She doesn't have Psula. Okay, so we give her her Chazaka, that until the final moment, she was still a Psula. When did she become a Ba'ula? Nebuch, Mishin Nerasti Nenasti. And Kmishi Arestani, after you did the Eris and Nenasi, then I became Mananusa, then Nebuch, I was Nensa. Ah, so that's what the Gemara is telling us is, that strengthens Ram Gamliel's taina, that Ram Gamliel says that she's Ne'emenes, either because of the first pshat, because she has a migui, she could have said Mukas Eitz, or she's Ne'emenes because of the fact that she herself has a chazaka that she was a psula until she reveals that she was not after the Erisim. Avul Hocha, in the case of the Manali Biyadcha, my chazaka is Lalahai, there is no chazaka of the person that owns the money, or that says, you owe me the money, what chazaka is there? You only have the tainis bari b'shema. There's no chazaka. The other one has a chazaka, the one that owns the money has a chazaka, that it's his money. But the person who's being towing, he doesn't have a chazaka. And therefore, I, Rav Nachman, could hold taka like Rav Gamliel. So Gemara, this is not just a dochek pshat. Hokanam mistaber. In fact, it makes a lot of sense that this is the case. Kidim gom kidiko mashnina. Just like we answered just now, Rav Nachman Hudi Yom Gamliel, that Rav Nachman can hold Rav Gamliel. Now why does this make so much sense? The imkain, because if you're not going to say that he holds like Rav Gamliel, Kashi Hilchasa al Hilchasa, I'm going to have a steer one halacha on the other. Well, what's the steer? The Kaimulan, we have a general rule, Hilchas Rav Nachman Bedini. After all, Rav Nachman was considered to be the preeminent posek in his dar. He was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. He was the head of the Bezdin. If you will, he's like the Av Bezdin, Rosh Bezdin. So, anytime we have a shaylan dinim, we pass on like Rav Nachman, because it's tremendous posek. Ubaha, and in this case, Umavira Meshmul, Haloch Kerem Gamliel, like the Gemara said, Afilu Barishoina. So, Ibazoi, if you're going to tell me that we pass like Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah, the Bari Vishem, the Bari Adif, and you're going to tell me in the case of Manali Biyadcha, we paskin like Rav Nachman, that you don't have to pay, because there is a chazakah. So now we have a stira. How do the two work hand in hand? Elav shmamina, muzm zong kinem shaninen, like Rav Nachman answered, that even though in a case of Manali Biyadcha, I hold you go after the chazakah where the mamoin is, but in our case, Rav Gamliel had two other reasons to say that we believe the kala and not the chosin. Reason number one is because she had a migo, she could have said mukas eight. And number two, because she had a cheskes psulim until she revealed that she was no longer a psula. Because of those two tainis, says Rav Nachman, I could agree with Rav Gamliel that she's nemenes and not the husband. And with this, we conclude for today. Hearing no questions, I wish you all a wonderful, beautiful day. And Mietchim, we're going to continue tomorrow morning at 8:05. Please try to come early tomorrow, because today we had to wait a couple of minutes. Brocha Batzlocha, Zayi Bench, everyone, Kotov. Be well. Bye-bye.